Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Did you hear me? The first two words, by faith. The last two words, by faith. So that's helpful when you memorize the verse. The first two words, by faith, tell us that Noah had faith in God's word before it ever rained a drop. Right? He believed it would rain. He believed it would rain just like God said. He believed that he must build an ark. And he believed that God would destroy the earth. He believed it. And the last two words, by faith, tell us that Noah's faith was rewarded. His family was saved from destruction. The ark survived the flood. He condemned the world. He became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Excuse me. Noah had the same faith that Abel had. Noah, listen to this. Noah was the final example of faith in the old world. Noah was the final example of faith in the antediluvian world, in the old world, in the pre-flood world. Everyone else perished. Noah was the father of the new world. We all came from Adam. Yep, but we all came from Noah. So he qualifies as the second father of humanity. Noah was the father of the new world. And in the next verse, Hebrews 11:8, we read about, by faith, Abraham. So after the flood, Abraham's after the flood. Now we're reading about by faith again. Thank God for the faith of Abel. Thank God for the faith of Enoch. Thank God for the faith of Noah. And thank God that after the flood, we still have the faith of Abraham. And we are the children of Abraham by faith. Praise the Lord for the faith that's been handed down to us. Thank the Lord for the faith of all those that would follow Abraham right on down to 1993. And I want faith, don't you? I want strong faith, don't you? I want unwavering faith, don't you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It had never rained 40 days and 40 nights before. The world had never been inundated with water. Earth had never been destroyed with a flood before. So Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And I don't know if, I've never met anybody that knows just how Noah was warned of God. I don't know if he read some print in the sky, or if he had a vision, or if he had a dream, or if he had an audible voice. I know the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And I know the Bible says Noah walked with God. That seems to tell me that it's possible for me to walk with God. You know, when you walk around with somebody, it's not long before you strike up a conversation. You don't walk with somebody mute or silent. Not very long. You start to talk. And Noah is walking with God, and they're talking. And God speaks to Noah as they walk and talk and says, I'm going to destroy the earth. Amen. And I'll read that to you. And God saw that the wickedness, and this is the reason for the warning. See, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Why the warning? Why the threat? You know, doesn't life just keep going on? Isn't that the way everybody feels? You know, I mean, the sun rose. Well, did it rise today? It rose somewhere. The sun rose today, people say, and it rose yesterday. And it rose the day before, and the day before, and the day before. Well, why, certainly the sun is going to rise again tomorrow. People are so confident that life will go on. But God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And I wonder if a holy God isn't looking down on a wicked earth again today. And if we couldn't just say we could apply this scripture to today. And I believe we could, because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So when Jesus comes again, it's going to be reminiscent. Social conditions will be reminiscent of those times when God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, listen to this, was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It's been calculated, and the Bible says so. And if that's what it means, okay, let's say it. From the threat to destroy the world to the actual destruction of the world was 120 years. God said that, so there's no question about that. God said that. I'll give them 120 years, and then it's over. One man wrote, I read this, when sinners' sins are coming to the height, God gives space for repentance. We have an example of that in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 21, where in the church of Thyatira, they had a woman there named Jezebel. And she was an infamous woman. She was an ungodly woman. And God said, or Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. You see, her sins came to the height. And God gave her space to repent. And then the Bible says that she repented not. And then God takes action. And so God said, I will destroy them with the earth. And then 120 years transpired when God gave the world space to repent. Now, we don't know exactly what Noah said during that time. We know that he was busily occupied building that ark that would save himself and his family. By the way, somebody said, you know, what if Adam, or what if Noah preached and had great revivals and a lot of people got saved? There wouldn't have been room on the ark for all of his converts. And they laugh. I'll tell you what I said back to them. I said, if a lot of people would have got saved, there wouldn't have been a flood. Yeah. Amen. Men do not fear God. They feel so secure. Like I said, the sun came up yesterday and the day before, and it's going to come up tomorrow. Psalm 49:11 says about sinners, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. And then the Bible says, why? They believe that so strongly, they're so convinced of it, that there will always be a tomorrow, that they call their lands after their own names. And I thought about that after the flood. I wonder if Noah searched the earth for their names. Couldn't find their signpost on the street corner anymore. Couldn't find their name in the telephone book anymore. It was all destroyed. After the flood, it really didn't matter whose name claimed what land, did it? Really didn't matter. Amen. Revelation 18:7 says, and this is talking about sinners again, confident sinners. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. And that's from Isaiah chapter 47, verses 7 and 8. But Noah was unlike the rest of the world of his day. Noah moved with fear. Yes. Now, this fear, to me, indicates a proper reception of God's word. And that's what we need, folks, is when God speaks, we need a proper reception of his word. Was Noah's fear justifiable, or was Noah afraid of God? Now, I was just thinking about that this morning when I was getting ready for church. You know, you shave and you shower and you dress and all these things, and my mind is going, and I thought, yeah. People need to be afraid of God. God's just a little bit bigger than they are. Amen. A little bit more powerful than they are. Amen. And when he says, watch out, we better watch out. Amen. And I thought, do I have a verse for that? Yes, I do. In Isaiah 66, God says, to this man will I look, that one that reads my word and trembles. Yes. We need to tremble at the word of God. Now, we're not afraid of our Father. We're not afraid to walk up to his platform rocker and climb up on his lap and embrace him, throw our arms around his neck. No, we don't sit there trembling at God. But when we do wrong, we better be afraid. The Bible says, break the law and be afraid. Amen. So was Noah afraid of God? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and Noah was too wise to ignore God's threat. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Noah was too wise to ignore God's threat. And so Noah moved with fear. Now, well, somebody disagree with me yet? Do you know the Bible says in Hebrews 5:7 that Jesus feared? Jesus Christ himself feared? The Bible says he was heard when he prayed to the Father in that he feared. Amen. Now, Jesus' fear was reverential fear. He reverenced his Father. Amen. Noah's fear was reverential fear, and our fear ought to be reverential fear. We reverence God. We respect God's word. Praise the Lord. Now, Noah, when Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, he had no proof. He had no indications that there was going to be a flood. No, he had God's word. That's exactly what he had. That's all he had. And I remember David Reaver saying, and friend, that's enough. All we have left is the Lord, and that's enough. Oh, it just vivid in my mind. So Noah had no proof, nothing in sight, no indications of things not seen as yet that it was going to happen, but he had God's word. He had faith in God's word. That was enough for Noah. Noah walked with God. He knew God. And we that know God today can take God at his word when he says he's going to do it again, but not next time by water, but by fire. Just think. Noah's faith was pleasing to God. You see, in verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Certainly that means that your faith is pleasing to God. Now it says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Praise the Lord. So Noah was pleasing to God. His faith was pleasing to God. And you know, when you and I read the word of God and believe it and obey it and act upon it, God looks down with a big smile of approval. He is pleased with your faith, and he is pleased with my faith. So just think, it's pleasing to God when we believe his word. It's disturbing to God when we read it and don't believe it. It's displeasing to God when we read it and don't believe it. Do we believe the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God? Do we believe Psalm 91:8? Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now that wasn't written for Noah. That wasn't written yet. Noah had no Bible. Moses hadn't written yet. Genesis wasn't written yet. Nothing. He had the word of God. Whether he received it in a vision or a dream or an audible voice or special delivery, I don't know. But he heard from God, and God told him that he would destroy the world, and he believed it. Now, the Bible tells us the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Do we believe it? Are we acting upon it? Are we separating ourselves from people in the nations that forget God? We've got one very close to us. America is forgetting God. And she will be punished. Do we believe it? Or do we think, well, no, the sun came up on America yesterday and it'll come up again tomorrow. It came up today. It's all life will go on. We've heard that for 40 years. You know, it's been a long time since the flood, and we're going to hear it again and again. So only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's going to happen. Now, I think Noah wanted everybody to be saved, everybody to repent, and then that wouldn't need that flood and that ark. But you know good and well that Noah would see the reward of the wicked with his eyes. They didn't repent. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, no, not the sun, moon, star, no, you got to be out of your mind, Peter. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. I'm ready. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, no matter how big I build my kingdom of materialism on earth, no matter how great and valuable it is, it's going to burn. So I'm making plans. I'm not going to drive my stakes into this world and this life. No. Praise the Lord. You know, we had a beautiful funeral yesterday, I thought. I was given a list of 8 character qualities of the deceased, and I expounded on all 8 of those qualities, and I'll tell you, I was overwhelmed with this thought that some people, I should read those to you if I had them with me, I would, Some people are building their kingdoms down here, and when it's all over, they're leaving their kingdoms. Some people are building their kingdoms up there. They're sending their treasures forward, onward, by doing good in this life. And when they leave this world, they're going to their treasures, to their kingdom. I'd rather go to mine than have them burn here and have nothing left. Hallelujah. And so, keep it in mind. Amen. Keep it in mind. God's word will come to pass. It absolutely will come to pass. He said in Isaiah 43:13, and you're going to hear four of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. God said, I will work, and who shall hinder it? Who shall let it? 46:10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46:11, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Can't you see men with their machine guns and their rockets and all of their artillery fighting against God and saying, we're going to stop you from fulfilling your purpose? And he just laughs. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at them, have them in derision. 55:11, these four verses are from Isaiah. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When God says he's going to destroy the world, he's going to destroy the world. When God told Noah he was going to bring a flood, he brought a flood. And when God says now through the Apostle Peter that this earth is going to be ignited and burned, flammable or not flammable, his fire will burn the very elements. Praise the Lord. And his word will come to pass. And Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I don't know if they had scientists, infidel philosophers in Noah's day. What all they had back there? I suppose they did. I suppose they were very intelligent people. Probably much more than we are today. But I wonder if those infidel philosophers and those unbelieving scientists did their calculations and run their formulas through their computers and came up with the idea that a universal flood is absolutely impossible. It's just totally impossible. God goes 120, 119. 118, 117, 50, 49 years left, 2 years, 1 year, boom, thunder, lightning, rain. The earth starts heaving as the fountains of the deep are broken up. Where's that scientist that told me Noah was crazy? I let me get my hands on his neck while the water's coming up on his own neck. You know, I don't know. But you know something? We have scoffers today who claim all this scientific proof. Well, the scoffers had proof, but Noah had faith. And the scoffers today might have their ideas and their philosophies and their formulas and their science, but I've got faith. I've got faith that if God said he's going to destroy it, it shall happen. Because God is not limited by the boundaries of science. And I think that's why Paul wrote Timothy and called it science, falsely so called. God's the author of true science. Watch out for these pseudo-scientists. Amen. I personally think, and I have a book on my bookshelf, in my library, The Harmony of Science and the Scriptures by Dr. Harry Rimmer. I personally think, and I've read it, I personally think it's dangerous to try to harmonize science with Scripture. That's me. I think it's dangerous to try to harmonize science with Scripture. Because when God prophesies, when God predicts, he doesn't need the rules and the laws of science. He's not bound by those boundaries. He can jump over, he can skip over them. He can do as he pleases. What do you think is going to happen? God said, behold, I make all things new. The former things will be passed away. There goes science and all of its laws. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God said, Noah, I've had it. It's up to here on me. You know? And it's going to be over here on them. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Most writers agree that a cubit was 18 inches, which would make the ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. God went on and said, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Okay? So Noah has his blueprint now from God. It's quite simple, isn't it? We have three verses there. Listen, here's what God told Noah to do. He said, build an ark. Here's the material you make it out of, gopher wood. I want you to make rooms in it, and I want you to pitch it within and without, with pitch. And he says, this is the fashion, 300 by 50 by 30. Isn't that easy instructions? Really, just listen to it. A window, do it above, in a cubit. A door in the side. I want three stories. There it is. Here's your plan, Noah. Go to work. Got 120 years. And it's going to rain. A lot of work. Noah obeyed God to the minutest detail. Amen. And the Bible says in Genesis 7:17, and it was lift up above the earth. That sounds like the rapture to me. I read that verse several times, you know, in my life, over and over, reading Genesis, and it says, the rain came, Noah finished the ark, the rain came, and it was lift up above the earth. And I thought, oh, praise God, we're in Jesus, we're in the ark of God, and when the fire comes, we'll be lift up above the earth. Sounds like the rapture to me. Well, anyway, Noah's instructions don't sound real difficult to me. No, I don't think Acts 2:38 sounds too difficult, really. You know what it says? It says repent. But I don't want to repent. Well, drown. Burn. Because God said repent. And be baptized. You that agree with it. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that's one verse. That's just what? I didn't count it. It looks like about 40 some words maybe. Somebody want to count it? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them. There's six words. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. There's eight words. Six and eight is 14. I don't know how many words. But anyway, just a few words of instruction so that you can be lifted up when the fire comes. Like Noah was lifted up for following the instructions when the water came down. What's the heart about these three verses? Make an ark. And what's the heart about repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost? You know, I don't think it's a matter of being too difficult. I don't think that building that ark was a matter of being too difficult. It was a matter of whether Noah believed God or not. And I don't think Acts 2:38 is too difficult. I think when people are faced with Acts 2:38, it's not a matter of it being too difficult or ambiguous or hard to understand. No, I think it's a matter of faith and obedience. Do I believe it? If I believe it, I will do it. If I don't believe it, I'll ignore it. Praise God, we believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a matter of faith and obedience. What if Noah said, He said, pitch it within and without. I think, I don't really see it. Man, my arms are tired carrying these buckets of pitch. And I got to walk miles. Every day, I am getting tired of this. You know, I think I'll just pitch it on the outside. I mean, that's where the water's going to be, on the outside. What do I need to pitch it on the inside? Reasoning, human reasoning, and people reason. You know, I repented of my sins. I think I did. At least everyone I could think of. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, but that Holy Ghost, I'm not so sure I really need it. Human reasoning. We take part of the instructions. And did Noah? I don't think Noah did. But you know, Noah could have. He said, I think I'll just pitch it on the outside. Man, that'll save me a lot of sweat. I could sleep in a couple of mornings a week and rest my weary muscles, my tired body. Or that window above. I mean, I'm not coming in or out the window anyway. I'll just make a door in the side. I don't think I'll put that window above it. I could just save myself all this work and time and measurements and so on. Why don't I just leave the window out? I don't like to see rain coming down anyway. No. Why don't I just leave out the Holy Ghost of Acts 2:38? Or why don't I just leave out repentance and see if I can't get baptized in the Lord and just accidentally think I repented and give me the Holy Ghost, you know? No. My word to everybody today is, why don't we just obey it all?
Amen.
Why don't we just go unsatisfied until we've got it all? Until we've fulfilled it all? Why should I miss out on anything God's got for me? I think I'll just skip the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized. That ought to be enough. No, friend, that's not enough. And the 120 years is winding down. You have less and less time. Make that decision today. Make that decision today. Amen. Noah prepared an ark. His task was long, hard, arduous, difficult. Yet, methinks that he refused discouragement. Noah preached for 120 years. At least I think he did. There are different opinions on that subject. In fact, I heard one preacher say, the Bible doesn't say that Noah preached against that a flood was coming. Noah didn't warn the people of a flood. Well, my question then is, well, what then did he preach? I mean, here's an ark. What's that ark for? That's a secret. I'm not telling you. You know, what are you doing going out and getting all this lumber and all this pitch and making all these rooms and the window and door? What are you doing, Noah? Oh, that's a secret. I can't tell you. No, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. The New Testament tells us. I think it's 2 Peter 2:5. I don't have it here. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What did he preach?
Right.
I think he preached get right with God or suffer the consequences. Righteousness, get right with God or suffer the consequences. The ark itself was a warning. The ark itself was a message to Noah's generation. The ark was a message to Noah's generation that God had spoken to Noah. And it was their choice whether to believe it or not. That's what Jesus said. Jesus doesn't tell everybody would like a hotline to heaven. Throne of God. Everybody would like for Jesus to come to them individually and believe it. I had a man tell me that. He was not an atheist. He believed in God, but he didn't believe in Jesus. He said, well, if he's real, I want him to come to me personally and tell me. I said, you're going to be waiting a long time. He's not coming to tell you personally. He already told you. You see, in Luke 10, Jesus said to his apostles, they'll hear you. And when they hear you, they're hearing me. I'm telling you to go tell it. And they that believe you will be saved.
Yeah.
We have to believe the apostles' word. See, the church is not built on the foundation of every individual member. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and that's it. No other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Oh, remember that. When you hear Paul, when you hear Peter, when you hear James, when you hear John, you are hearing from God. And it's our choice whether to believe their word or not. Jesus said if they believe your word, they'll believe mine. If they don't believe your word, they won't believe mine. He did the same thing in the Old Testament. If they don't hear Moses, they won't hear the one who rose from the dead. Oh, we've got to get that down. So that our faith is not roadblocked, hindered in any way. I think that ark was a message to Noah's generation. Right there. Hey, this guy's, you know, we think he's crazy, but really he's not. We really know it. He's better at math than we are. He's better at science than we are. He's better in a lot of things than we are. They knew it, but people are atheists because they don't want to live holy. Read it in Psalm 14:1. The ark was a warning to the people. Every measurement that Noah took, Every tree Noah cut down, every board that Noah sawed, every nail that Noah pounded, every bucket of pitch that he fetched, attested to Noah's strong, unwavering faith. Praise God, and that's what we need. When the world comes against us and temptations abound, we need to come to church anyway. We need to read our Bibles anyway. We need to get down on our knees and pray anyway. We need to talk in tongues anyway. We need to be filled with the Spirit anyway.
Amen.
I think that's an attestation of our faith that attests to our faith, our unwavering faith that God's Word is true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you and I do some things that are strange to the world. Every time we go to church, every time we go to prayer, every time we read our Bibles, every time we witness to the lost, every time we get that far away look in our eyes. Every time we teach somebody a home Bible study, we're preaching a message to this world. That message is, we believe God's Word. We don't have proof. I don't know if the world's getting warmer or colder this week. Some of you have been reading. You know, the scientists tell us it's colder, and then it's warmer, and then it's colder, and it's warmer. And it's, I wish they'd make up. No, they can't. They don't have it. We have the Word of God.
Amen.
We have the Word of God. We don't trust our future to science, falsely so-called. Yeah. We trust our future to Almighty God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I love it.
Amen.
I'm walking on clouds. Science is not yet discovered. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's pleasing to God. Noah's preaching was pleasing to God. But how many people believe Noah's preaching? You know how many? Not one. No, not one. Just his immediate family. What a failure that preacher was. Preached 120 years, Brother Bennett. Never had one revival. Nobody ever came to his altar and got the Holy Ghost. Nobody. You know, I'm talking Old Testament. New. You understand what I'm saying. Nobody ever went into the tank and got baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Not even one came to his altar and repented after 120 years of preaching. Not one. You know, I don't think he'd qualify as a speaker for General Conference. I don't think he'd be on a list of potential camp meeting speakers. We probably wouldn't even have him for a rally, a sectional rally. He's so unsuccessful. He's such a failure. He preached all that time, and nobody got saved. You know, I have heard it with my ears. I have heard people indict preachers for their lack of success. That's not always true, folks.
Amen.
Sometimes they're in an area, and we don't know how big Ephesus was, or Smyrna was, or Pergamos was, or Thyatira was, or Sardis was, or Philadelphia was, or Laodicea was. We don't know what the membership of those churches was. We don't know that. They might have been a small church there and a big one. God doesn't even mention it in the Bible. No Sunday school contest in Revelation chapter 2 or 3. No comparing numbers and figures. Just be faithful to the Word of God. That's what every preacher knew. That's what every preacher was told. Just preach the Word. The Lord will add daily to the church such as should be saved. That's a big word, such. God knows the heart. And Noah just happened to preach to a generation and in an era that was so ungodly, where sin had just permeated the whole world. It was spread everywhere. There was no turning around. God says there's one thing left to do. Just give them 120 more years space to repent and light, and just open the floodgates of heaven. Destroy the earth and open the deep. Amen. How many in Sunday school know? Doesn't matter. There's the ark, folks. There's the ark. The door is now open. The gangplank is out. But it's going to be pulled in real soon. The door will be shut. And guess who's going to shut the door? The Bible says, and God shut the door. God shut him in. God shut him in. That's what's going to happen. I imagine that they were outside the ark screaming, pounding on that ark. Noah, Noah, let us in. The water, we're going to drown. Noah, hear us. We're sorry. Noah, you really were right. We apologize. Too late, too late. God shut the door. They couldn't get in, even if Noah had a change of heart, change of mind, I should say, and wanted to let them in. Huh? God shut them in. God shut the door. They couldn't. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get in. It was too late. Can you imagine when that fire comes and people are knocking on the church door? Let me in the church. The church is gone. The church went up. Let me in. I want to go through that hole in the roof. Let me out. No, too late. Too late. Now is the time to live for God. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. Not after the fire starts getting warm. No. Not after the rain starts getting warm. No. Noah believed God and he was spared. The rest of the world did not believe what Noah told God, what God told Noah, and they were destroyed. Now, then the verse here in Hebrews 11 says, by the which he condemned the world. He condemned the world. What a statement that is. Can't you see Noah going around saying, I condemn you, I condemn you, I condemn you, you ungodly, wicked sinner, I condemn you, I condemn you, go to the flood, drown, you don't believe that. Noah didn't do that. I don't think Noah had that spirit or attitude at all. And I don't think the church ought to have that spirit and attitude today.
Amen.
You ungodly Democrats, you ungodly Republicans, you ungodly politicians, you ungodly alcoholics? No. That's not the way we talk to alcoholics. That's not the way we talk to wicked people. We say, hey, there's the gangplank. Here's the door of the church. Come on in. We love you. Jesus loves you. We want you to go to heaven. We don't want you to be destroyed.
Amen.
That's not how he condemned the world. You know what condemned the world? And I hope I can say this right. But Noah's very action, the fulfillment of his faith, condemned the world. Maybe, no, why don't you just come and have a drink with the boys? Just another card game with the boys? Come on. Let's have a night out on the town. Noah, come on and join us. Don't be such a fool. Don't be such a fanatic, Noah. Just join us. No, Noah. Just kept pounding those nails. Just kept spreading that pitch. Just kept sawing those boards. He just kept building. They could hear this sound ringing in their ears, and it was condemning them every day.
Yes.
Noah. Tears running down his face.
Yes.
Come on. Give up your sins. Give up your wickedness. God loves you. I love you. He didn't create you to destroy you. No, he loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be spared. I'm a preacher of righteousness. Why don't you just repent of your sins? And you know what? You and I. It's not that we go around pointing our fingers at people and looking down on them. No. And criticizing them and judging them and condemning them. We love them. We love everybody. We want everybody to come in and be saved. How many would love it if 51,509 people in Eau Claire got saved today?
Yeah.
Fantastic. That'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. That'd delay the fire for a few more hours. But here we are, folks. What are we going to do? Are we going to go drink with the world? Are we going to that last card game of the world? Are we going to mix with the world, cross the world? Do we love them? Yes. We have not separated ourselves from the world because we don't love them. We've separated ourselves from the world because God said separate yourself. Because God says the fire is coming.
Yes.
Because God says he's going to destroy it. And God said come out from among them or you'll suffer with them.
Amen.
So we just keep baptizing people and the world looks on and they're being condemned. Every time we put somebody down in the water, it's just one more notch of condemnation against the world. Noah condemned the world by continuing doing what he was told to do by Almighty God. He kept building the ark. He wouldn't stop. You and I have heard from God through this Bible. Hey, ladies, be ladies. Hey, men, be men. Hey, Christians, be Christians.
Yes.
Just keep being holy. Just keep doing it. Let the world mock you. Let them ridicule you. You just love them, but don't compromise. Don't change.
Amen.
And the fact that you don't change condemns them. We have no choice in the matter, folks. Well, I don't want to condemn them, so I'm going to change. I don't want to condemn the world. And how many people think that?
Yes.
Boy, I won't be so condemning if I'm just a little more like them.
Right.
No, ladies, walk in with your long hair and your long dress.
Amen.
And your broad face.
Yes. Amen.
No long faces.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Men look like men. Amen. Act like men. Quit you like men. Be manly. Act manly. Be godly. Praise the Lord. And love them. Amen. So Noah didn't go around condemning people individually. No. You know, Jesus did the same thing. The Bible says he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. They're already condemned. He did not come to condemn the world. He came that they might believe in him. But yet, when Jesus preached to his generation, the Bible says that Jesus said the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment and condemn this generation that Jesus preached to, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And he said, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Think about that. Amen. So the faith that one person has condemns the unbelief the other person has. Good examples will either convert sinners or condemn them. Noah didn't want to condemn, but his very action was a condemnation, and he could not give up his action or he'd be lost with them and his family would be lost. So it is with us. We cannot disobey God to please the world. He became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. He became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You don't want to know something? Noah wasn't righteous. See, Romans 3 tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. So Noah had to become righteous because Noah, just like you and I, was born in sin. Noah needed the grace of God. Thank God. I think it's Genesis 6:8 says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that grace gave him power. He became a man of God. Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this righteousness, which is by faith, which is the righteousness Noah had, is the only kind of faith that God recognizes. Let me close with this statement. If only one man shall be saved at the end of the world, as Noah was at the end of his world. If only one man shall be saved at the end of the world, I feel determined that it's going to be